Let's start. I want to talk today using the parasha as a springboard to talk about a topic which I don't have a good answer for, which is always fun. Okay, and a question of values, a question of like a value system that affects us all in some ways and doesn't affect us at all in the same way. I'll explain to you what I mean. I want to preface by sort of telling a short story. I was teaching it. I wrote last night. And I happened to give, I have a class on the Chagim, so we were talking about Tisha B'Av. So I was talking about with the students about the lack of the Beit HaMikdash. And what does it mean that we don't have a lack of Beit HaMikdash? And they gave me all these different answers what the lack of the Beit HaMikdash means. And we talked about the Korbanot. And they said, there's no Korbanot. So, like, somehow that led to a discussion, of, do we really miss the Beit HaMikdash or not? Are we really feeling like, yes, we miss the Beit HaMikdash. And we're like,
We missed the idea of the Beit HaMikdash.
So I said, that's right, that you all are missing the Korbanot. You just can't wait to come and bring your animal to the Beit HaMikdash. And you're going to lean on the animal, and then they're going to slaughter it and catch the blood, and they're going to take the blood and just throw it on the mitzvah. And they're like, hurrah, stop, it's disgusting, I don't want to know. You know, like...
How many of the girls are vegetarians?
What?
Now, most
of
them.
Today's day of age, vegetarianism.
I started describing to them Malika, and then the Kohen takes his thumb, and he splits the neck of the bird, and he takes the bird, and he squishes it against the... Exactly, see? You're all doing it, right? You know, is it...
Thank you. Do you feel good now?
What?
Do you feel good now?
Yes, I do. Okay.
You got your reaction.
Yeah, right. I wasn't fishing for that
your
reaction.
Point was...
My point is, so I said to them, that very sometimes the values that are presented in the Torah are values that we have difficulty with. We struggle with them. And so then the question becomes, is this something that I'm supposed to yearn for? I'm supposed to bring myself to and yearn for? Or like, how do we deal with that dichotomy, that distinction? I want to talk about this in terms of the context of a topic called Yichus. Okay, anybody know what Yichus is? You familiar with the term Yichus?
Generation.
Correct. Right. But when I say a person has yichus, what are we really saying?
They have an
important
pedigree is the word. Right. Right. And so there's yes. Exactly the same.
Well, I don't know. You come from important stock.
Yeah.
Well,
you're descendant of this person, of this
whole,
person.
Whole breed versus half breed.
Right.
Muggles.
What?
Say that muggles.
Non-muggles.
Right, I think that's a great example. And in our and in the Harry Potter world, right?
You speak his language.
I do speak that language. To be a whole blood, to speak about people about whole blood versus half blood means you're a bigot and a racist. You're evil.
If you point out the difference between
right.
if
you care about half blood versus whole blood.
Both being wizards.
What? Boom! Now we're gonna. So what is it, right? So we understand that in the culture of the world in which we live, a person who cares about yichus is evil, is wicked, is a racist. A racist, maybe, or a bigoted person,
a snob.
Not among Haredim.
What?
Not among Haredim.
Why?
They're very proud of it. They're very proud of
Where
it.
Where does that come from? Is that that's just Haredi culture? They just made it up? Usually, when something happens in Haredi culture. Right, so what is it? Yichus has two things. Yichus means two things, by the way. Yichus has a halachic term, and there's a cultural term. For the cultural term, what it means is, you come from an important family. Yeah. Right? I have yichus. I come from an important family. That's also based on, a halachic principle. Right? Miyuchas means, like, one of the things that when the Gemara describes in Brachot, the idea of when they were replacing Rabbi Gamliel temporarily. So when they wanted to pick someone, they picked Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah because he was miyuchas. He had zchut avot, as it was said. So your connection to previous generations was significant. Yes, you wanted to say something.
No, in the issue of women leaning at the Seder, where the Gemara says that Yimisha Chashuva is the one that leans, one of the standard explanations is a bat tamid chacham.
Oh, right.
It's just interesting.
What does that have to do for? What does that,
yichus,
right, what does that do for anybody? How does that
defines her as an Isha Chashuva.
Oh, very good. So the idea that you come from important stock is relevant, very relevant. There's another important thing there's another totally separate topic that's related to yichus that's also important and has halachic ramifications, significant halachic ramifications. We just finished Kedushin. Today is the last day of Kedushin. So anybody who knows someone who, right?
Yay. Party tonight.
What?
There's a party tonight.
There was last night.
They did it a day early.
It's not tonight at 8:30?
No,
it was last night at
8:30.
Chief Rabbi was there. Was your husband there? I didn't see him. Okay. It was pretty crowded.
Very
nice.
Cool.
You said it was nice.
It was very nice. So the last chapter of Kiddushin is called Asara Yuchsin. 10 Yuchsin. So then the Gemara talks about, the Mishnah talks about the 10 different types of people that came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And the list is, you have Kohen Levi in Yisrael. So Derech Agav, by the way, we're very into Yuchus. Right? As long as you're like a Kohen or a Levi, everything else we have no idea. Okay, then at Chalalim, there's such a thing, a Tralachic term called a Chalal. A Chalal is the result of a forbidden relationship. For example, if a Kohen marries a Grusha, his child is a Chalal. He's a Kohen Chalal. No, it's fine. Stop. Thank you. I'm fine. It's a Kohen Chalal, i.e., that child is not a Kohen. And that child is forbidden to marry a daughter. It's a halachic term.
Different than
Geire, Geirim, Charure is a freed Eved, Mamzer, a Netin are from the descendants of the Givonim. Then you have two terms called Shtuki and Asufi. Shtuki and Asufi, child who knows what his mother is, right? Shtuki is called, from the word Shtuk. What is Shtuk? Right? Shut up. Why? Because when a child is with his mother and he says, sees a guy and says, hey, that's my dad. And the mother says, shh, i.e. Not your dad. Okay, right, exactly. And a Sufi, a child that was gathered from the shuk, i.e. a child that was abandoned. Right, why do people abandon children?
I'll feed them.
What? So there's two reasons. If the Gemara says, if it was at a time where the parents couldn't feed their children, then that child doesn't have a din of an Asufi. But why would people abandon their children?
I guess they don't know who his parents are.
Moms are.
What?
Moms are.
Illegitimate children, right? People would abandon children that were illegitimate. That's exactly right. Okay? What?
It's sad that there was no... Okay.
Yeah, we're going to get to there. Okay, those are the 10.
But there's no framework of support.
And then there are...
The only reason that it's gone the opposite direction.
Okay, the themes in the Gemara are, the Gemara in the Bavli says that with Ezra, so there's two opinions, but when the Gemara says, Ezra, he emptied all of Babel of all the questionable people. Like all these 10 groups that came, and that made Babel like pure. So you didn't have to worry in Babel. Like Babel was like the most miyuchas place, right, Babylonia. Eretz Yisrael was, Isa was considered like dough, i.e. a mix vis-a-vis Babel, and then the rest of the world was like Isa vis-a-vis Israel. I.e. you have like, and so therefore, if you were from a place, they would ask you where you're from. Like they would always ask, I want to know about your family for a very specific reason. What's your yichus?
Like, is the yichus important because you need the halachic status to see what true modem Azrael they're allowed to eat and all that kind of stuff and who they can marry?
Mm-hmm. I'll read the Gemara. Yes, I'm a Rav Hamnuna. I just want to quote your Gemara related. Kol hanoseh isha she'ena hogenet lo. It's unclear. A woman who is not hogenet lo. Not clear if it's halachically or whatever. Eliyahu kofto. Eliyahu anabi kofto. Kofetoto. He like forces him in some way to do something. Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote so. God ties him up. Vetana akulem Eliyahu kotev. On all of them, Eliyahu is writing this down. Vakadosh Baruch Hu chotem. And God is signing on this deal. Oy lo leposel et zaro. Lepogem et mishpachto. Velo nosei isha she'ena hogenet lo. Woe is the person who ruins his family name and marries some woman who's not appropriate for him. Okay, so this theme of yuchsin, like maybe you don't like it, it's throughout this entire chapter of good yichus versus bad yichus, marrying into good families or bad families. You have to look back. The Mishnah says that when you get married, the Mishnah says you have to look back either 3 generations, your mother, your grandmother, and her mother, and another opinion says 4 generations. Anybody know anybody who did that? No, we don't go back 4 generations.
If you need to, you do.
I've seen it happen, but we don't go back 4 generations.
If you can't,
did you look back 4 generations when you got married?
No.
Neither did I. Okay, right.
Could this also have something to do with the Shvatim? Because when they came in, they inherited a certain amount of land, so then that was passed down.
What they're really looking for is psul, i.e.
psul,
mamzeru, illegitimacy.
Okay. So mamzeru can marry a mamzeru.
A mamzer could marry a mamzer.
Could. That's the only one they can marry.
Or some say geirim, opinions, freed avadim. You know what I'm saying? There's somebody here.
Eved Ivri?
What?
Eved Ivri.
Eved Ivri, who's
so
freed.
So it means that you can't be part of the general population.
Correct.
There's a very strict caste.
And then for the next 4 generations, you're
No, forever. Right. It's not four generations.
Yeah, but...
The Mamzer's descendants are forever Mamzerim.
Wow. Right. And also with the Ger.
That's what the Torah says.
With the Ger, there's no inheritance, right?
Ger does not inherit his parents, but he and his children inherit him.
No, in terms of the Shvatim.
Ah.
The land.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're talking about you're going back to the land.
I'm saying, like, there's... We have to look at the whole picture.
Okay, so I'm not bringing this up for nothing. I'm bringing this up because this is one of the hidden topics in the Parsha, this idea of Yichus. As we'll soon see, I'm going to show it to you. It'll be obvious once you see it. Like, Parshat Bamidbar is a lot of counting, just a ton of counting. But in the counting, there are keywords that show up over and over and over again, as you will soon see, that indicate that there was an obsession with family Yichus. Okay, there was, you know, and people were meticulous about family. Do you guys bring by Yikra?
Yeah.
You also did?
Right, we just, chazak, medit chazak. You're on,
last week.
You're on Chutz La'aretz time, because in Chutz La'aretz, I have more. I have more, I have Kamashim. New book.
How is my
husband?
Is it still
Yikra? Bring her Bamidbar. Why share? I have two.
What?
Okay. Open up to Bamidbar. You brought it back? You brought Chamisha Chumshei Torah, so you're fine. Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm safe.
Rachel, is that mine?
Yeah.
So there's more. There's like a billion. Okay.
This is what happens when you get to Shulay.
You okay. Also don't get a good seat.
Okay. We're not going there. We're not going there. Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe. Bemidbar, everybody? Bemidbar 1. Beginning of Bemidbar. במדבר סיני, באול מועד, באחד לחודש השני, לשנה השני, וזיתם לארץ מצרים לנוח. God spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai, in the Ohel Moed, the first day of the second month of the second year to going out of Eretz Israel. A lot of water has passed under the bridge until we get to this point. Okay? They got there, the first Pesach, we know the first Pesach, they went out of Egypt. Got the Shavuot, got the Torah. Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, comes down 40 days later, what do they do? Chetah Egel. Goes back up, down, whatever, until Yom Kippur comes down, final kapara, final atonement. Now that's not a chumash, that's a, yeah, there you go. Okay, final atonement. Very nice. What do they do all winter? What do they spend the entire winter doing now?
Traveling.
First year? No, they didn't go anywhere. They stayed at Har Sinai. What do they do all winter long? From Rosh Hashanah, from Yom Kippur, from then, until Pesach, what do they do? It's very important. No. Come on, what? Oh, right, they built the Mishkan. They spent the entire year building the Mishkan. Okay, they built the Mishkan. When was it finally consecrated? Pesach. It was before, like, the beginning of Pesach. They left 10 days, and then they had Pesach. Okay, that was the first carbon Pesach that they offered in the Midbar. Okay, and then they were supposed to go. Okay, we're ready, let's go. This is it. We're now in the Bechad L'Chodesh HaSheni, the first day of Iyar. This is the second year. We built the Mishkan, Pesach is over, everybody put away their dishes, okay? Time to go. What do we do? So before we go, we have to prepare. Si'u. Perek Aleph Pasuk Bet. Si'u et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael l'mishpachotam l'veit avotam b'mispar shemot kol zachar l'gulgulotam. Si'u. Which one? Lift, count. Raise up. But what does it mean in context?
Take ye.
Take what?
Take ye.
Take ye. What does that mean?
Take a census.
Take a census. It means the word se'u means to lift up. But in context it means count. So obviously the question is, why do we use the word? By the way, so this isn't new. It's ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael. We've seen this a number of times in the context of counting. Lift up, raise up, also means to count. Kol adad b'nei Yisrael, l'mishpachotam, l'veit avotam. See, remember I told you that it was there? According to their families, according to their beit avot, their father's houses. B'mispar shemot, the number of names, kol zachar l'gulgulotam. Every male le gulgolotam. The gulgolotam means gulgolet is either like a head, right? Count them. Do a head count. See, anytime it says everyone, it just means the men.
No, but but here's this. It doesn't say called Sibor Le Gugulotam. It says called.
I will tell you what we're talking about. Rina was commenting that somebody called her and said, "Are you going to the?" She wanted to go to the Siyum to, you know, to offer support. And so they wanted to know if Rina, should Rina come? So she went
to. She wanted to know if I'm coming.
Right. And Rina was said.
No.
Right. Okay. So she asked the organizer, you know, are women invited?
Because it said on the invitation, Hatzibor Muzman.
Hatzibor Muzman. And so you're nodding, you're shaking your head. No, women were not invited. So what I said to Rina was, she's like, it should have said men only. And I said to her, it did say men only. It said, call it Hatzibor Muzman.
What?
Am I wrong?
Yes.
I wasn't upset or surprised.
What?
Everyone that counted was invited.
Am I wrong?
So you can't even say everyone who learned Daf Yomi was invited. Because there are no women in the Yishuv who learned Daf Yomi.
There's a woman who learns Daf Yomi. There's a woman. So we were like, I would have been very, very excited if there was
like
a woman.
But it's not her style to go in like that and be the woman who.
No, it's not her style. Okay. Why do they count Lemishpachotam Ulebeit Avotam? Why is that important? I want to ask.
The double.
What?
For the Shvatim.
For the Shvatim. Okay, look at Rashi for a second. Yeah, look at Rashi for a second.
What if it wasn't a father?
What if what?
There's no father.
Then? What happens?
You have no Nachala.
That's right, you don't get counted. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know who your father is?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Your father died.
Oh, doesn't matter. Look at Rashi.
It's a beta boat.
Okay. The Mishpachotam. Da minayin kol shevet v'shevet, to know where they came from. Lebeit avotam, misha avi mishevet echad, v'imo mishevet acher, yakum ha-shevet aviv. Okay, so just so according to your family, according from your father's side. So by the way, this is a fascinating element of Judaism. How does Judaism go?
Go according to mother.
Mother, right? Yeah. Your religion goes according to the mother, but your yichus
goes
by the father. You know, so not that your mother's family isn't important too, but your shevet identity, is father driven, okay?
Patrilineal.
It's patrilineal, okay? So we're going to go back. We have to also talk about why does it say, one second. So I'm going to read you a midrash. What is this idea of the mishpachotam or the beit avotam? Why was it so important that they divvy up by family? So Rashi says, in order to know what shevet. Do you have to prove, like, you have to bring your family lineage in order to know what Shevet? Let me ask you a different question. Were they divided
already?
Were
they camped
already
in Shevet?
Were they divided by Shevet?
Yeah. Make sure everybody's where they're supposed to be?
Or was it a whole mishmash?
No, they're supposed to be a camp.
The Mishkan.
Or maybe they weren't yet.
Well, I want to know what happened during the first year.
Before the Mishkan.
Maybe they weren't yet. Maybe only now they're told to divide up.
They weren't. They were just a Mishrael coming out.
What's interesting, if you look at the Midrashim, remember the Midrashim about Yetzia Mitzrayim? Very good, right? That the Yamsu split into 12, and each Shevet. I mean, these are all Midrashim. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it means.
But also, then they were closer to the original. Like they were there.
This is just a year later,
right?
Right. But even when Moshe is born, they give his lineage. They say. It's always like, it's very, like from what Shevet he is. It's
yes.
Something that's very, very strong.
Correct.
So yes, I think that even in Mitzrayim, somehow each Shevet had their, I don't know if they had their tafkid or whatever.
So this is the question because this is the value that is so, such an anathema to our sensitivities, our sensibility today. Like, what Shevet are you from? You know what I'm saying? First of all, we have no idea.
Yeah.
But even if we did know, would it matter? Would it mean anything to us?
I think if we knew it would.
If we knew it would, maybe. There seems... What's that?
In some
communities,
maybe. Well, our pride comes from, you know, if you're from some... You know what I'm saying? If you're from... Like, if you're from the, you know, the Breuer's community, say, I'm a Yeke. You know what I'm saying? You say that in a certain level of pride. But even that... is going away today. This idea of communal sort of pride. There seems to be a clear agenda to divide them. To divide the, you know what I'm saying? Like, were they divided before? I don't know. But Moshe says this, now we're going to sort you. And sort you specifically, not according to your ability or, you know, what house you should be in, according to
difference?
Your birth. Right? We're dividing you by birth, and we're splitting you up. So the question really, and understand that this is something that's completely and totally antithetical to Western values. That where you are is determined by how you were born.
I don't think it's totally antithetical.
Totally antithetical to Western values.
If you look at the Waspy world, which is a Western value, it totally exists there.
Excuse me, Western values.
You're coming out party, you know, you're connected to this one and connected to this one, and you wouldn't dream.
That's looked down upon today. Look at the culture. Yeah, people do it.
Remember when Diana was married into the royal family, yeah, and it was a whole big.
They just like it because it's a good show. They like it because it's a good show.
Especially if there's money.
We would like to think it's a Western value, but the reality on the ground is.
So, but there's what should be and what should be and what is. But do we agree with? I mean, how do we deal with this idea of like
new money is like also pasnished?
New money's pasnished?
Yeah, according to old money.
It's only according to the old money because they want to retain their.
But that's the point. That
old money is one thing, but new money is they just met. You know, like
we was on the Mayflower.
Right, isn't
it? Daughters of the Revolution, right? Part of the Daughters of the Revolution. We're not talking shit up.
You came from the South.
Yeah.
Right.
In Michigan, they don't care.
But understand, by the way, that's also a clash of values between liberal values and Southern values,
conservative
values, right?
I'm saying it's not so clear cut to say it's a Western value.
When I say Western, I mean Western liberal. I mean Western liberal values. Western liberal values. Okay. I mean, I'm speaking to like a Southern belle. Okay.
South African.
Did they know you were South African? If they had known, they would have like totally rejected you.
Oh, no.
No, it's exotic. No.
It's
exotic.
It's totally
exotic. Right.
Okay. One second. There's a Siftei Chachamim on the Mishpachotam on Rashi. Siftei Chachamim is a super commentary on Rashi. You have it. You don't. Okay. So the Siftei Chachamim ask questions about Rashi. Okay, minayin da minayin kol shevet u'shevet. So he says. So he explains. Lama k'tiv lemishpachotam. Why does it say according to their families? Yesh lomar shal yedei mishpachot ha yodim mispar shvatim. And from the families, they would know like which shevet it was. Okay, because he says why? Because it was yoter hayu yodim kol echad ve'echad me'ez mishpacha shedacham diot al shem rosh mishpacha. People didn't know their shevet, but they knew their family. So the way they would divide them up by tribe was to say, where are you from? I don't know, whatever. That was 200 years ago. Who's your? You know if you're from Dan or from Asher? I don't know, like we were in Egypt. You know, did that? Were they divided up in Egypt by tribe? This slaves or those slaves? So and so it's interesting is, so they would ask them what family you're from. They would say, okay, let's do some little bit of research. Go on Jenny.com. You know, go back a couple of generations. Oh, you're Dan. You go over there. Okay? And according to that Siftei Chachamim, what that means is that there was a clear agenda to take people who didn't know what their yichus was
and
to split them up.
But it also shows a lack of connection with their tradition, which is in contrast to the other Midrashim about the Meyum Mitzrayim, about the 12 tribes going through the Yam Sof, about that they didn't change their names and they all spoke Hebrew, and this goes against that.
The Chen Ketiv, we're going to skip a little bit, and it says, Vayigyaldu al Mishpachotam. We're going to get there in 1 second. Okay? It says, and they were born Vayigyaldu. The word is unclear. We're going to see what it means. Velo yunikuim al Shem HaShevet. Since once they determined what family they were from, then Moshe and Aaron, gave them, here, you're Dan, give them a little tag, hi, my name is Bob, I'm from Dan, okay? And they went and met their long-lost cousins. Who says this? He quotes Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh is the Maharal. So the Maharal says, if you take that explanation of Rashi, what he says is they didn't know their Shevet and they were split up. Okay? Which is fascinating in that, they were not only split up in the fight to conquer the land, they were even more split up when?
In the camping, in the traveling.
And then even more split up
where they lived.
Where they lived. They were divided up according to their area. You know, according to their profession, according to their area, they were given certain tracts of land, which ultimately led to civil war. If you follow the history, right, between Binyamin and the different. Why? That makes you wonder. Why not just have a mishkabibble? Everybody makes mishes together, and you know what I'm saying? And
I think it speaks to the importance of community, that Israel is too big to have one big community, and that sometimes cliques, or maybe not cliques, as long, it's a very fine line you have to walk, but I think that there's a value to smaller core communities.
Oh, okay. Like identities.
Yeah.
Based on birth.
We all live in a community that's a community for a reason. It's a reason we don't live in the city.
Absolutely not. Not based on, we don't divide up based on birth.
We chose it, yes, granted. But I think that the fact that there is a division just speaks to the importance of community.
Let's skip.
But what's in the community? There are more areas in the community.
So. What?
Sure.
So we chose to live in the community. But then within the community we chose to, there are communities that are created.
There are sub-communities.
Right.
You should just realize also, like for Israelis who have family here, family is first. Right, yeah. We are all
out of
right. We don't.
Most of us.
What? Right. Most of us just don't have that. You just don't have the whole like family networks that the Israelis have. That's their first line of defense. And because of that, and because of the way we were raised, so we have this sort of communal model. But Israelis don't really need the communal model because they have the community built in.
Okay.
Right. You know, and God willing, that's what our children are going to do because they'll have the community built in too. You know, like.
Right.
It's just
the family.
Somebody was going. A woman came to work yesterday. She had her son with him. He's sick. I was like, "Oh, why you bring him to work?" She's like, "Safta's busy, and the other Safta's busy." And they're like, "You know, that's what it is."
Tell me, they're moving. Because they don't live near their parents. They live a 15-minute drive away. And this way, if they move closer to the parents, like it's easier for the grandparents to pick their kid up from guns.
That's what it is.
Do the grandparents want to pick their kids up from guns?
Yeah. They'd rather like go across the street to the gun than drive the 15 minutes.
Correct.
And I'm 15 hours.
They used to sell real estate.
Yeah. So all of you who like...
Most of the tribes, they went close to their parents.
Just understand, right, that... It is an expectation.
You understand. In America, you're 18, you're out.
Somewhere you'll see.
It's a whole different
yes,
area.
That's right. Whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the I'm just going to, we're going to skip the names, because then it gives the names of all the people that were delineated for each Sheva to be the Nasi. So skip to Pasuk, Tet, Zion. Oh, you like the names?
I love the names.
I don't
want to
go through the names.
I don't use them today, but they're very cool names.
Hagiel, Ben Ochran, Eliasaf. Okay.
They're
great names, right? Why don't we use those names?
I don't know.
Elek Kirue Haida, these are the people who are Kirueida, called out of the community. Nisi E Matot Avotam, Rashe Alfei Israel Him, the heads of the thousands of Israel. Vaikach Moshe V'Aaron et kol anashim, et anashim e'il asher nikvu v'shemot. Moshe and Aaron took the people that were nikvu linkov, that were designated by name. Okay, in Pasuk Yurche. Ve'et kol haida hikilu. Be'echad l'chodesh ha'sheni. And remember, now we're going back, okay? We're on the first day of the second month. They gathered, Moshe and Aaron and the Nisiim gathered Kol Haida.
Second month, they're talking about ER?
First day of ER, second month. First day of second month, second year. Vayit yaldu al mishpachotam levet avotam. Miben esim shana v'amala legulgulotam. Vayit yaldu, yeah, I need that. Okay, vayit yaldu al mishpachotam levet avotam. What in the world does that mean, vayit yaldu?
They gave birth? Themselves.
No, they did not give birth to themselves. Right. Yeah.
According to them.
By Yit Yaldu. Let's look at.
And they declared their pedigrees.
Oh. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. That's exactly what Rashi says.
That's what the
Rashi
English
on Yudche.
The English on the top says?
Yeah, but this is a Rashi book.
Right. Art scroll is even more, right? What does he say?
Genealogy.
Look, right. Rashi says, Vayit Yaldu Amish Bechotam. Heviu Sifre Yichuseyem. They brought their Sefer Yichus. Ve'edei Chezkat Leidatam. They brought proof of their birth. Call echad ve'echad, yichyaches al shevet. Each and every one to be lihit yaches. What is lihit yaches? So that's a...
Declare?
To be...
In colloquial Hebrew, what does lihit yaches mean?
To be given.
Right. In this context, it means to have to be associated. But the lihit yaches means to be connected in some way. But here it means to be connected, birth. You want to be in shevet dan?
Prove it.
Prove it. And if you can't? You're in trouble. You're not.
Really?
Sure.
I'll share with that.
What?
Oh,
yeah. Do we all know what we're talking about? You know, your friends are... Right. Start again.
My
But it doesn't matter because it's family. It's family. Like, you know, there's nothing like...
You have defined it.
Somehow, like... Oh, somebody was telling me that they were doing... They went to this trip to Poland. They had family in Poland. They met these long-lost Jewish cousins. When you meet your family, it's family.
Yeah, right. It's a different feeling when you meet family, even if you've
been I do this. You go on the internet, and there are these, spalters all over the place. So it just happens that I'm not related to any spalter. They're all Chabad spalters, but like, it's
That's how you say it.
What spalter? So they spell it S P A spalter. I think my grandfather. I don't know. Whatever. And but it's like it raises this curiosity in you. You know what I'm saying? Like even. Even, you know, every Yom HaShoah, like, I pull out there these letters that my uncle had from my grandmother, from my grandfather to his mother in Poland. Yeah. And what the, like, and there are these pictures from these societies, of these, like, and I look at the pictures and you wonder about these people and who the relatives are. You know what I'm saying? We have this inherent connection or need to connect to family. You know, I never heard of this person, I don't even know who they are. Like, but somehow, because we share the same blood, There's this kinsmanship. There's this connection. Okay, what does Vayitiyal do? So that Rashi says Vayitiyal do means they proved their genealogy. Vayitiyal do. The only problem is what in the world? How does that connect it to the word?
Yeah, I like that.
Vayitiyal do, and they gave birth to themselves. Okay, well, let's look at a couple more interpretations. Okay, Vayitiyal do. I look at that to Sforno for a second.
They proved their birth.
Mipnei shaya minyanam ze kedei sheyitzu letzava milchama. They were going out to war. Hayta hachavana lishmor yachasam shezchut avot misa'ayatam. Right? Everybody has their yuchus. Remember we talked about their zchut avot. Instead of looking at purity of family, there's an element of zchut avot. That's a midrash that I saw before. That why did it say lebeit avotam? The midrash says lebeit avotam I want to read you the midrash. It's beautiful. Okay, why does the Beit Avotam and not the mother? Yaakov Avinu said, "Hikabsu v'shimu b'nei Yaakov." Said Yaakov, "Ani mityarei." I'm afraid. He said to his children on his deathbed, "Shema la'achar moti tishtachavu le'elilim." Maybe you're going to bow down to gods. Why? V'vishatem banim shel arba imahot. Because you know your mothers, all of you, they didn't come from such good stock, right? They didn't. Who's their father? Right. Their grandfather is an idolater on the other side. What can you do? There wasn't anybody else. You know, you take what you can get. Amrula, they said, Eino omer lebeit mishpachotam lebeit imotam. It doesn't say their families according to their mothers. Ela lebeit avotam, their fathers. Kishem sha'ata echad v'oved le'echad. You, dad, you are unique. You are one. Yaakov Avinu, you are the one father. And there's four mothers, but one father. And you worship one God. Kach anu ovdim en ala echad. We worship one God. Halahu dichtiv, halo av echad lekulanu. And therefore Yaakov said, Baruch Shem kavod ma'atol le'olam v'ed. Right? He said, that's the whole thing. Like Yaakov Avinu, when he said his deathbed, he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? It wasn't that he was saying Shema because he was dying. He was saying, listen, Hashem Elokeinu, Dad, listen, Dad, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We'll be okay. And he said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Le'olam V'ed. Somehow, that's important. In order to maintain that Zchut Avot, you have to have some connection back. Oh, now I got to say something.
Please.
Have you all seen the video of Robert Kraft at the YU graduation?
Oh, my father yes. sent it.
He did send it today. It's a beautiful video. It's a beautiful video. He spoke about his father. It's so interesting. He spoke about his father... That he remembers he and his father went to shul, clearly an Orthodox shul.
Really?
Yeah. And he's
wondering when he spoke at the YU.
he spoke very Jewish, right?
Very Jewish.
Very Jewish. And everybody. What?
I didn't think he
was like that.
Connected.
Yeah. He spoke about his father, and he remembers his father. He would go to. Who's Robert Kraft?
Yeah.
Robert Kraft is the owner of the New England Patriots.
Okay. American football
An American team. American football team.
Who is this important person?
You don't know about
that. I only knew about it because my father sent an email this morning.
Did you know who he was?
This is the talk of Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots at the YU.
You didn't know that he was the owner of the Patriots?
Where would I know he's the owner of the Patriots? You're lucky I know the Patriots is a football team.
You knew that from your crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know that was because of Ezra Schwartz.
When Ezra Schwartz was murdered,
the Patriots at the game.
I understand that being the Patriots is one of the most... is one of the most successful teams in whatever, and an owner of a football team in America has a ridiculously oversized
status.
Place in American culture.
Yeah,
it's like think about the owner of what's the most important football team in South Africa? A rugby team. Or Manchester United. Have you heard of Manchester United? You've heard of Manchester United? Do you know who the owner is?
Not all fair, no.
No, but whatever. If you said the owner of Manchester United, it would mean something to you,
right?
That person would be very important. I think it's a Jewish family from somewhere. They're all Jewish. What?
Russians?
Russian. Whatever. So these guys, he was a very important person. He gave this speech. And he spoke about his father. He remembers that his father would daven for the Amud. Right? And how everybody came to hear his father, and then they would come back to shul at Mincha, and they would learn Pirkei Avot. Right? And this is what he remembers. And I kept thinking to myself, first of all, so beautiful the connection between that a person has from his father, right? That's Zechut Avot. That's the idea that the parents say, we have one God, and we bring it to the children. And I hope, this is my, like I'm saying it in the most positive way, I like to hope to think that he took his children to shul, and that his children also went and remember their father with Pirkei Avot. But sadly, what we see is that generation, their parents were much simpler. You know what I'm saying? And they went to shul because that was the shul that they went to. But that there's a huge break between that generation and the generation after, that somehow the next generation, they went to a different kind of shul. And they didn't die.
How old is he?
He's 70, 75. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I wonder, like, something was lost about that Zechut Avot, that connection, that yichus. So the scorner talking about this idea of Zechut Avot is a very powerful idea. I just have a problem with the whole Jewish world going crazy about a person who, like, we're honoring him because he owns a football team. You know, he does beautiful things. It was very nice as a Schwartz thing. But if anybody else got up and said, yeah, I remember my father took me to shul, would we be like going crazy? We'd say, very nice, you know, my father also took me to shul. You know what I mean? Like, why do we go crazy when somebody who's incredibly rich and powerful is like, oh, I remember when I went to shul? Question.
Unexpected.
What?
Unexpected.
Yeah, it makes us, somehow it validates us. Oh, he good? Like, it makes us feel good about ourselves.
Maybe makes him he's feel
not, he's not embarrassed to share this. I shouldn't be.
Yeah, but you're talking about a room full of thousands of hundreds of yeshiva university graduates. You know what I'm saying?
But it's
trickle back. You know,
the university
is going to
want right, but why do I need them? Why
simple.
Do they need some rich person to say to them, to make them feel good about their going to school?
It's him and the connection of who he's speaking to.
What?
Right, graduation speeches go viral. It's not just about them speaking, it also goes...
It's only viral in the Orthodox world.
Not necessarily. Right.
I'm telling you, this one is viral only in the Orthodox world. Okay. By Yit Yaldu, so we have Rashi Yichus, and we have Sforno talk about Zechut Avot. Okay? Or Achayim. Hutzuchu lechazket leida, lemechush mamzer, shemakir aviv, v'takarat mamzeruto, v'tiyameh leida. Sarich leavi chazkat leida, person had to bring what's called shenolad bekashrut. It wasn't a family connection. They weren't just including. They were excluding also. Yachol mamzer lomar, sefer yuchlin ad Yaakov. Right? So it was the Beit Avotam because...
What's the halachic definition of a mamzer?
A mamzer is a child. The halachic definition is a mamzer as a child that was born out of a karet relationship. It's a huge machloket among the Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva
meaning
said
from the list of Asur Arayot in
Asur Arayot, right. Asur Arayot. So, Eshet Ish. What?
I mean, it's not just an affair type thing.
An affair is one.
Yeah.
Incest is another. Yeah. Okay? But it's only a one-way affair. This is also one of these injustices.
Right?
Right? You understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's because of the woman.
Correct.
It?
Correct. So if a woman, this
or
happens.
Nida
is not a curry. Nida is a specific
it's
a specific exemption.
Okay, but it is a
curry. It's a great question. It's a great question. Yeah, yeah. Well, Nida is curry. Okay, but it's a specific exemption. It's the yichus thing. The idea was they not only weeded out the mamzerim. Who else did they weed out? Who else got weeded out? Gerim were weeded out.
But,
who were the gerim?
The Arab.
Because in that first list you said, I was surprised that the Mamzerim came before the Gerim. In that first list you said about...
The Gemara is incredibly ambivalent about Gerim.
Because today we're not allowed to say that they're a girl. We're not allowed
to remind them.
You're not supposed to remind them. You're supposed to embrace them.
That's correct.
But in that first list, it was Mamzerim first, and then.
Just remember also, we're not supposed to today. You just raised the point so beautifully. Today we don't talk about how you were born. How you were born isn't important.
But there are halachas about it. It's not just Western.
Halacha is lo tonu. You can't afflict a girl.
And the definition, the halachic definition of that is you can't remind them where it came from. You can't
say,
what cheeseburgers taste like?
I can't say, who do you think you are to tell me what to do?
I know you don't need David for that. Right. But that's, I remember that.
Tell me what to do. 2 years ago, you were eating shrimp.
Right.
I can't say that. What I can say is, I'm sorry, I don't want your child to marry my child.
You're allowed to say that.
What do you mean? The Gemara talks about it. Of course. Now, I wouldn't say that because I don't, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But why? But that's my Western values. This is my values that I picked up from a different culture and a different society. I'm reading you the Torah. According to what the Torah says, what should I say?
Be a bigot.
That's right.
Years ago, I was doing shidduchim.
Am I presenting this too harshly, or I really don't think I am. This is what it is. This is what we see. This, you talk about the Haredim. It's not a Haredi thing. They didn't pick this up and make it up. This is something that's rooted strongly in halacha, in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch. These are rules that we don't talk about a lot.
But how do you coincide loving the ger and?
I love you for the choice that you made. Now go find somebody else to marry.
Of your own, someone who can relate to
that's
you.
That's right. That's exactly. Me, they don't do that to Baalei Tshuva in the Haredi world. It's exactly what they do to Baalei Tshuva. They say,
they
"We so
don't
honor you and cherish you."
Only in the Haredi world, there are people in the other.
In our world,
there are people who do it everywhere.
The halabim.
It's them, but we don't do that.
The halabim are extremely
machzor. Your children are not allowed to enter the schools. Their children are not allowed to enter your shoes.
Is that serious?
If they are the way they see themselves.
The only matter.
Years
ago,
I was dealing with shidduchim and I was talking to this young lady, and she said, "I come from incredible yichus." She said, "But my yichus mean nothing until I prove who I am." I was like, "I want to find her shidduch."
That's what she said.
That's what she said to me.
Right, but that's not the way it works in the real world.
No, she didn't want to be set up with somebody based on her yichus.
Right.
She didn't.
Okay. Fine. All right. That's great.
Which is why she called me.
Did you set her up?
I didn't. She did call me. We ended up with this close relationship and she called me. She's like, I found someone.
Okay, so there's this point. Let's go back to Chumash for a minute. We're now in Pasuk Yud Chet. Vayit Yaldu al Mishpachotam. Yit Yaldu, either they prove their yichus, or they prove their family, or Zchut Avot, or they proved that they weren't mamzerim, that they were kosher. But by the way, it's very interesting. In order to get into what institution? In order to be counted for what institution? For the army. You couldn't serve unless you were kosher.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
What?
And that's the opposite.
They don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Do not kosher with them.
Why? But it's a very interesting thing. Because they believe...
It's a religious war.
That's right.
It's
a holy war. It's not... You're not fighting based on my... Lo b'chaya, lo b'koach, ki'im beruach Hashem tzvakot. Right? So we are a spiritually pure army, and not just the way we behave, but going back families, and, you know what I'm saying? And we're representing the idea of God. So we can't have among ourselves a community of mamzerim or illegally born or sexual impropriety. Right? This was all weeded out, you know, and it is what it is.
It's quote-unquote corruptible versus uncorruptible.
Pure blood, right, okay.
But they could be amazing people. Look who came out of Ruth, and, you know, does this make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
Root was female. Doesn't matter. The female side.
If Root had been a man, nothing would have made a difference. Right? Just, it's good that you brought it up.
Wasn't.
You should just understand also that the fact that Root was an Ammonite, right? The halacha of Ammoni velo Ammonite.
Moabi.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right? That was a matter of a great debate at the time. It was resolved far later. Many hundreds of years later. Many hundreds of years later. When David HaMelech appeared, the Gemara says that when David HaMelech appeared in the Beit Din, he appeared before Shaul and Doeg was his right-hand man and his military attaché, and also a Talmud Chacham. Right? They would, you know, like, this is like Hesder par excellence. The original, like, army was, you know, they would hang out, talk and learning, and then go kill, like, a zillion Plishtim. Okay? So Doeg comes and they says, who's this guy? And they say, oh, that's David, the son of Yishai, the son of, I don't remember the name, the son of, who came from Rut. Right? And Doeg said, get rid of him. Get him out. And then they have this whole machloket. No, Amoni, v'lo Amoni, da 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 da. David's legacy, his yichus, was a matter of debate even after he was king. Right? See, when the whole thing fell apart, and remember David's running away, and Avshalom was going to kill him, and then the guy from Binyamin, what's his name, who was standing on the cliff and cursing him out. You know, Shimon ben Gera. We always knew you came from nothing. We knew you didn't belong in this community. Like, you know, this is what happens when you bring half-bloods and try to bring them in the community.
So he wouldn't have been included.
What?
Hashem chose him.
What, generations later, he goes, okay?
How many? It was four generations later.
He wasn't a ger.
His great-great-grandfather married a Gioret. Understand? By the way, that's also part of the whole thing about Ruth. That's the whole thing about Ruth. Like, when he married her, remember, when he took her in, why did he take her? Why did Boaz take her and not Ploni Almoni?
He didn't want her.
Ploni Almoni said, I can't take her. She's going to ruin my yichus. That's exactly what he says.
Those are the words he uses.
He's exactly that, those things. You know, this idea is nothing.
What?
That's exactly what he said. I can't give her my fields. I like bad. Okay. So, and I just want to point out. So this idea, when we continue into the psukim, when we start counting, let's skip for 1 second. Skip to Perek Bet just for 1 second. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped too far. Remember, I skipped all the counting in Perek Aleph?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just go back on the Pasuk Chaf. Yes. Just look at the words. Okay, these words appear over and over again. Vayu b'nei Reuven. Like, there's nothing in Chiddush here except Chor Yisrael. Toldotam l'mishpachotam b'beit avotam. B'mispar shemot l'gogolotam. Toldotam. Their generations. The names, okay. L'beit avotam. They count according to their family. Skip to B'nai Shimon.
What's the difference between B'nai Shimon and Beit Avotam?
Remember, I said Mishpacha is that they were born. Beit Avotam is the fathers.
No, I don't.
Rashi talked about it.
Rashi
talked about Mishpachotam is Minyan Kol Shevet, and Beit Avotam Misha Aviv Mishevet Echad V'Imo Mishevet Echad. Okay. B'nai Shimon Toldotam the Mishpachotam the Beit Avotam. Every tribe. These words meaning the numbers change, but they were every single one. Prove who you are. Prove that you're a kasher. Prove that you belong in the Shevet. Because if you don't, you're gone. And what happened to people that didn't belong?
Yeah, where'd they go?
They didn't.
There's one story I can think of that discusses what happens to people that didn't belong.
The Mekalil?
That's right.
No, but that was before. That was in the last Sefer. That was in Bahar.
That was in the end of, right? In the end, in Parshat Emor, I think it was. Or the end,
Parshat Emor, Bahar, around there.
No, it was not Bahar.
So
Emor. If you look back, there's this one. Good that you brought it. Okay, can I have it for a second? There's a story of the Mekalel.
But that was before this division. Where did they go, though, physically?
It was
Where did they live?
Yeah. The land is divided. Where do you think they lived?
They lived with the Levim.
No. No.
They lived outside the camp.
You had the Ohel Moed. You had what?
They lived in the outside.
That's right.
In the peripheria.
In the peripheria. We call them outcasts because they were cast out. Okay. 1 second.
And then they married each other.
Right.
Right.
Or the standard definition of l'rachim.
Vayetze ben isha yisraelit v'hu ben ish mitzri b'toch b'nei Yisrael. That's very unclear. There's a daughter, a son of an Israelite woman who is Ben Ish Mitzri. Okay, and he had a fight between the Ben HaYisraelit and the Isha Yisraelit. Okay, and the Midrash says, the Rashi says, okay, what was their fight about? Nichnesu, the fight about was, you know, Rashi says, b'matnita ta'amra, in the Brita it says, mi'beit dino shel Moshe yatsa, v'yatsa, v'yetze, where did he come out of? He came out of Moshe's Beit Din. Why? Bali ta'alo betoch machane Dan. He says, I want to be in Dan. Amru lo, matzivcha lachan. what are you doing here? Right. Amar le Habib Neidanani. He says, well, my mom's from Dan, so, you know, I need a place. Amar lo ish al diglo be'otot lebeit avotam. This is from our parsha. So this happens afterwards. It says, lebeit avotam. We go by the father, my friend.
Your father's
an Egyptian, so you can get the hell out of here. Nichnas lebeit dino shel Moshe. So they went to Beit Din. He said, you guys can't say that. V'yatza mechuyav. Right? Moshe heard the case and said, they're right.
Sorry.
Amar begideh. Stood up and he blasphemed God. There are consequences to weeding out people, right? But the Torah not only advocates it, Moshe Rabbeinu enforced it.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Yes. I'm comfortable with that discomfort. Remember we talked about when Mashiach comes?
Yeah, are we going to all have to live by Shevet?
Well, let me ask you a different question. How many of us are kosher?
Yeah,
are
we?
Where are we going to live?
It's okay, we'll have our own community.
Really? When you find out Mashiach comes and they say,
yeah, I'll pay for you.
That's right. We're opening up a yeshuv in the Sinai for all the people that don't. Really? Nobody likes to, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody likes to be an app. I mean, not part of that.
Right. Do we really want to know the truth? You ever notice that, you know, we all look very European because we came from European stock, mm-hmm. and the people from other places, you know, why don't we all look Middle Eastern? Does anybody really want to know the truth?
Oh, yeah. Rebecca Cohen used to say that.
It's fascinating how Jews look exactly like the people that they live with,
right.
and they still hate us.
Right.
Like the Ethiopians look like the Ethiopians.
That's right.
And the Yemenites look like the Yemenites. And we look like the Westerners. And they still hate us. You know, normally you hate the one that looks
different.
I
don't know. I don't have answers to these questions. You know, it's not difficult to imagine. All you need to do. Oh, and Eliyahu Navi is going to come. He's going to say, it's easy. We're just going to do a DNA test. It's not hard to figure out who's from where.
Or it won't matter the same way. Maybe things will be different. Maybe your Shmi Rahamit's vote will have more value than your bloodline.
1 second. That sounds pretty controversial, doesn't it? That sounds pretty
controversial.
So what you're saying is that the values that were passed down for generations in the Torah, through the Gemara, through the Shulchan Aruch, will have changed?
I think you're okay. I think you're a bit of a predicament.
Who knows?
Like what you were saying, he remembered the crap. He remembered his father. So maybe his grandkids will become Baal Tshuva.
Yeah.
And then
like
they're
Donald Trump.
Avot.
Yeah.
No.
I'm saying,
all I can tell you is in the work that I do for so hard, checking people's Jewish lineage, most people can prove, but there aren't a small number of people whose parents converted, or they can't prove it, or they don't know where they came from, or you know, especially I have to tell you in America today, a ton of adoptions, especially as you know in the later years, ton of conversions, especially in Reform and conservative communities. It's a problem. It's a terrible, terrible thing.
But we don't encourage it, but yet.
Who doesn't encourage it?
I'm saying the Beth Din. I mean, I just remember.
In South Africa, the Beth Din does not encourage it.
No,
Wait, one second. You have the luxury of having a united Beth Din.
Yes.
And that no rabbis convert people outside the structure of the Beth Din.
Right.
It doesn't happen. So when I had a person who was a convert who came from York, or there's like a town, like there's a
Durban.
What?
Ireland?
Very big conversion community.
But it was, I didn't have a problem because I knew that the conversion, and it proved out, the conversion came from the Beth Din. As opposed to in America, where,
Australia.
I don't know about Australia, Australia was also somewhat organized.
It's also
small. As opposed to in America, every three rabbis, one rabbi and two of his friends and a reverend, they made a Beit Din and they converted hundreds of people.
Wow. You know,
in the Orthodox community, America is a total balagan when it comes to Yifas. Total balagan. And their children and grandchildren now are paying the price for it. These are the issues for us today. We have values. They're clear in the Torah. They're in front of our face. And yet we still say, I reject it. I have problems with this.
Right? And that's our and, socialization.
And the struggle. So for the Haredim to say, we don't reject it, we uphold them. Right? The real question is, how do we justify that we identify more with Harry Potter than I do with Sefer Bamidbar? Mm-hmm. Right? That's the question. All right, we'll stop now.